This is a subject matter which has moved me very, very much throughout my own life in Krishna consciousness. And I have discovered over the years that many of our devotees are, let me say, maybe that they have maybe not paid sufficient attention to what we can call emotional fulfillment. And it is due to this reason, the reason that they don't feel emotionally fulfilled, that means happy, inspired, secure, and all such feelings, that after some time they leave Krishna consciousness with mixed feelings. Their intelligence is convinced, yes, Krishna consciousness is very nice, it is a very logical philosophy which appeals to me. But my emotions are unfulfilled. I feel that this subject breaks a little taboo in our circle. We usually don't speak about emotion. Don't be sentimental, Prabhu. Only Matajis cry. and so on. And it may be for this reason that we as a community still can have a way to go. So today I will just give you a little foretaste of the whole seminar, and I do hope that I will be able to touch your emotions. We will have some interesting presentations, we hope. I'm very excited. You are actually the first group of devotees where I talk this. I must say, some of the ideas I have, many of the ideas I have gotten from my own experience. But when I was in Russia, I listened to a very nice seminar of Divamrita Maharaj, whom I met afterwards, and I said, Maharaj, this is exactly the subject I'm preparing myself for, and I was discussing with him, so I owe a lot to him in this presentation also, and would like to give credence to him. So okay, we are ready now. Hare Krishna. The seat of our emotions is the heart, and most of people in this world suffer from a dry heart. A heart which is dry will break very easily when there is someone who hurts him, or when there are expectations which have not been met. Dry hearts and broken hearts are connected to each other. Therefore, people, in order to moisten their hearts, befeuchten, to feed their heart, to nourish their heart, try many things. Most people in this world try to have a fulfilling partnership, where they talk to each other and where they have an enriching sexual experience together. They go to movies to try to avoid that their hearts become totally dry. They go to concerts like my generation did. They go to yoga workshops, like sometimes the Hare Krishna people do. They need to experience something so that the heart is not so dry, that it is fulfilled, that it is living, that it is not like a desert. Now mind you, the things which people do in order to make their hearts full, in themselves these things are not what the people look. When a person buys a new Mercedes car, when a person changes his relationship and goes into a new relationship, when a person enters into the cinema and sees a new film, it's not the car or the person or the movie which he looks for. He looks for an emotional experience, a fulfilling emotional experience. You know, if this, you may have a car, but you're just bored in the car, then you give this up. You may have a new relationship, but when there is no harmony in the relationship, and no enrichment, you again make a distance to this relationship. Or when you are in a movie, you don't stay in the movie if it doesn't fulfill your heart, if it's boring. You walk out of the movie. So the things of this world in themselves are not really what supply us with emotional happiness and so on. What supplies us with happiness is the emotional experience. Now it is exactly this emotional experience which a new devotee tries to make a distance to. I remember I was a Rolling Stones fan. I somehow liked the voice of the lead singer, the musical compositions, and the rebellious spirit which came out of it. It enriched me. It gave me some. I felt better. I was ready for action when I heard the Rolling Stones. Now, as I became a devotee, I thought, this is Maya. This is illusion. And made a distance. I still remember I had to go to some festival, rock and roll festival, and on this to distribute prasadam and literature. And on this festival, the Rolling Stones were playing. You know, when I heard the opening accords of this, I forgot what song it was. Oh no, not this song, please, not this song. I had starved myself from the Rolling Stones because I knew it is Maya. It is Maya. Rolling Stones are Maya. I had in mind a statement of Prabhupada where he says, a neophyte spiritualist is generally advised to keep aloof from the objects of the senses. Huh? We are not going to our old girlfriends, to the, you know, we are not taking a Friday out, Friday night, and do something with our friends and hang out in some unmentionable discotheques and so on. No. We are advised to keep the distance to the matrix, to the material world, to the Maya. But Prabhupada says, this is not enough. One must strengthen the mind. It's almost like when you are in a thunderstorm, and you run out of the thunderstorm, you feel in the first minute very relieved, no thunderstorm any longer. But then you need to do something, right? Like when you, in other words, you run out of the discotheque, you run out of your wild relationships, you run out of the material world, and you feel, I made it to the temple. Very good. But after some time, the heart gets drier and drier and drier, and you feel, oh yes, again, I know I must go to Mangala Arati, and it's very blissful, I know. But it is not there. You are not feeling it. What you need is you need to experience spiritual emotions. You know, it's almost, the material life is like thumb sucking. Did you do this? My mother recently told me it was very difficult for me, for her to convince her that the thumb is not good any longer. I was very long on the thumb. But after some time, you all feel there's no enjoyment any longer. Normally you go like if I would now go like this, you know, and then go like this, you would think, this is not a proper sannyasi. Something is not wrong. But it's not enough to just take out the thumb. We must put something in our mouths. So it's not enough to just give up our old lives. We must experience these other emotions, spiritual emotions. Otherwise, material life will ultimately appear more real to us than spiritual life. If I don't feel anything, emotional fulfillment in my spiritual life, then I will always think of material life. Yes, I know it was illusion, but it tasted so good, and I was happy. You know, we will feel like this. When we asked ourselves about our future in Krishna consciousness, the question, what will be my position? Will I be married or not? Will I have this or will I have that? Is ultimately not as important to us as the question, how will my heart feel in 5 years, in 10 years, in 15 years, in 20 years from now? This is what interests us in our future. Will I be a happy devotee like Yadu Nandan? Or will I be a totally frustrated like Sachinandan Swami? Hare Krishna, I'm trying to warm you up. How will my heart feel? Will I have positive visions? Will I have feelings of gratitude? Will I have feelings of, dare I say it, love for Krishna? Will there be tears of ecstasy in my eyes in my future? Will I ever be happy? So this is my introduction to the subject matter. As you can already feel, something is coming your way today. I would like to now give 5 minutes for all of you to think, to discuss with your neighbor about your happiest day in Krishna consciousness, why it was the most happiest day for you. You may say, I always forget dates. I do not know. Was it in February or was it in June and so on? That's all right. We don't look for a date. We look for an experience which has filled you emotionally, where you were just happy, where you thought, Krishna is so nice, and so on. And I want to also ask you the question to identify your most frustrating experience, where you really feel like, I don't know how long I'm going to do this. You know, when you really felt unhappy. So please turn to your neighbor. This is a very important exercise. Try to be honest with yourself and your neighbor. I will write down the questions. Important is, 1 minute, important is why. Why was this the most happiest day for you, or the most happiest experience for you? May I know, do you need some more time? I was thinking so. One thing which I also wanted to tell you, there will be some sharing afterwards, but we will do it like this, that not the person speaks about his experience, but the other person who listened to him very, very well. Provided it is an information which you are allowed to give to the whole group. You have to just ask them, can I say what you said? Or this has two advantages. The first advantage is you have to really listen emphatically. You listen and give the person an open space to tell his happiness and frustration to you. The second is, when you share, it's also a little anonymous, because I do not know who is Yadunandan's person who's next to him. I happen to know it because I'm looking from here, but you don't know this. So there is some confidentiality. So you have 5 more minutes. Were you able to share something? Can we have some show of hands where you think it's something nice and interesting for the group to hear? Oh, is it not so many? Nicht so viele auf einmal. It's a little confidential? Oh. Krishna, Krishna, what should we do? You were talking very animated. It was not possible to almost stop you from talking, but you know. Aha, then there was faith and attentiveness. The best moments were there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Most happy times were when I was on Sankirtan, distributing transcendental literature or singing the holy names in the public. And because then I felt Lord Chaitanya was so close and he protected me. I'm saying this for the International Tape Ministry. Was floating on. So when I was in a big kirtan, glorification of Lord Krishna with many devotees, then Krishna, I felt so happy because the deity seemed to jump down from the altar and be with me. Krishna was with me. And then the next thing, next time the devotee reports, I was cooking in the kitchen and I heard a big kirtan, and I went out and the devotees were just so happy that they seemed to float above the ground. And I felt very infected with happiness. Very good. Very much like the one with faith and attention was a very good point. Yes. Have you talked about frustrations? That's usually what I hear from morning till evening. The devotees come to my room. Oh Maharaj, oh Maharaj. No, not enough time. Pandu, what is your greatest frustration in spiritual life?
Yeah.
You're overwhelmed. Yes.
Please. Program maybe.
I'm sorry that I can only be so brief, but I hope I have given. No one thought about Prabhupada. There was not enough time.
We were too happy.
I want to tell you my greatest frustration. I had worked so hard for the Goloka Dham community. We were in a very difficult situation. There was a great decrease of faith because one of our leaders had gone, and I had so many invitations all over the world, but I disciplined myself and stayed with the community to build it up from nothing. We had a lot of debts, and I had requested one rich man to help us. The rich man felt so intensely inspired that he promised to give 500,000 euros to Goloka Dham. The next time I came, he said, "I will not give 1 euro. I have met 2 of your devotees, and they have discouraged me to give even 1 cent to the Hare Krishna movement." And here I was, I wanted to help this movement so much, but my endeavors were frustrated by our own members. It's like when you are fighting a war, and all of a sudden those who are supposed to be behind you and deck your flanks, you know, they start to attack you with spears in the side. And I broke down crying. I was so frustrated. Hare Krishna. That was my good. I have not exaggerated. It was like this, but there were other frustrations. But because I'm on the international sound vibration here, I will not tell or give away my secrets. Hare Krishna. So, I told you a little bit how Srila Prabhupada has advised his devotees in the beginning to be a little bit distant from the previous world in which they lived, so that they can actually start a new life. Once Prabhupada received a letter by 2 very nice Christians who had met one of his devotees. This devotee appeared to them very negative and emotionally not very fulfilled. And they had written to Prabhupada that we met your devotee, but he was so negative. Something went wrong in his education. And there Prabhupada wrote them a long letter back, which was published in The Science of Self-Realization. It's a beautiful letter, where he said that in the beginning, those who go away from Maya are a little negative towards the material world. It is natural, because they wish to start a new life. And he protected his devotees from the criticism. Although he thought the criticism was right, he said, "You must understand my disciples. They were doing every conceivable mayic thing, and now illusory activity, and now they want to go a little in the distance, and they become a little harsh, maybe." I remember when I heard about brahmachari life and I became a brahmachari, whenever there was a woman, I was very, very, you know, sometimes even making very bad comments about women, because I felt still my old attachments. There is a German saying which says, Brüder, senkt die Blicke nieder, um die Ecke kommt ein Mieder. That is, brothers, look down. It's in the monastery. In the monastery, brothers, look down. Around the corner comes a female, you know, a woman. So this is naturally in the beginning, but as I said, you can't go on forever. You have to awaken a different set of emotions which are not connecting you to the world of Maya, but which are nevertheless emotions. Prabhupada wrote about this quite early, and I wanted to read this to you. To cut the tie of all other affections does not mean complete negation of the finer elements like affection for someone else. This is not possible. A living being, whoever he may be, must have this feeling of affection for others, because this is a symptom of life. The symptoms of life, such as desire, anger, hankerings, feelings of attraction, cannot be annihilated. Only the objective has to be changed. I can imagine that some of you like to find this quote and maybe read it in its entirety. It's in the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, 8th chapter, verse 42, in the purport. 1842. Now, see, here Prabhupada says, okay, the material emotions which connect us to illusion and ultimately, you know, which we try to fulfill, but which will not give us the desired taste, the spiritual taste which we hanker for, must be given up. But emotions must be kept and developed in the proper direction. Not in a direction where they cannot be fulfilled, not in the direction of Maya where they will be frustrated, but in the direction where they can be fulfilled, where the soul's eternal longing for Krishna, for spiritual freedom, can be satisfied. If one does not feel Krishna conscious emotions, Maya will come back. I want to now play to you the little devotee to whom Maya comes, okay? I'm not a great actor, you have to empower me. Could it be? It's too late that anyone comes. Okay, come in. It's you, Maya. And the other person begins to say, as your friend Maya, I know you have come through a fanatical stage. Now you are a little older in spiritual life. I want to ask you a question. Here with your questions. Okay. Do you feel spiritual emotions? How does your heart feel these days? Are you in Braj Leela? Or are you just controlling your senses? Are you satisfying your emotions? Or are you constantly saying no to your mind? Come on. I'm your old friend. I have not become discouraged because you have rejected me. I have kept our relationship despite of you. I only have one question. You have to live, haven't you? You have to feel with your heart. Isn't this right? Now, I will come back to you after 1 week. Just think about it. Oh, bang, the door is closed. I drink first a little bit. My heart is a little dry, that's a fact. Oops. Nothing is there. She's all right. I have to get to bed. If I don't get to bed early, I can't get to the morning program, and everyone will think I'm in Maya. When I am in the morning program, and this untalented singer will sing, whose music doesn't touch my heart. Then I have service. Everyone goes to Mayapur. I have no money. Oh, no. He just got married, and I heard it's a good was a good marriage party. And I am a brahmachari. Day after day, the same thing. I'm not a good actor, but this is how Maya will come. Maybe she has come to all of you already. Maybe this is... Isn't she a little bit right also? You have to live. Isn't that right? A heart wants... It needs emotional expression and impressions as well. What is the solution to all of this? I would like to do something with you now, which is a very, very interesting exercise. I will try to awaken a few emotions in you. Then I will try to... No, what I will do is something else, because we have... I'm looking at this clock. Whoever gave this to me, I see I have a clock there, and so you might take it back if you wish. I wanted to first say how our scriptures see this emotional fulfillment, and then I will make a very, very nice exercise. It's very cultured. It's very, very nice. We will do a meditation, and you will discover something valuable, I believe, for your life. But I would first like to bring your attention back to this beautiful quotation of Srila Prabhupada, where he says, yes, there must be emotions, a rich, fulfilled life, not boring feelings of attraction, etc., cannot be annihilated. Only the objective has to be changed. One great impersonalist, Madhusudan Das Saraswati, who had no knowledge of the rich, the Rasa theology, that is spiritual emotions in relationship to God, wrote a very nice book after he had met the Vaishnavas, the devotees of Krishna, and where he experienced what Krishna consciousness does, or what changing the objective does It's you know, the Mayavadis see the world of Maya there. They see the and they understand its Maya. They can understand it, and they prefer to not look in this direction, to have anything to do with the world. The devotee of Krishna, however, also agrees with the Mayavadis. There is Maya, the material world, but there is an alternative, a spiritual alternative. There is Krishna and his associates and the rich devotional service to Krishna, which is full of emotions. And he therefore begins to meditate about Krishna. And think about Krishna. Those who visited the morning lecture today found out that the devotee concentrates his mind with four activities on Krishna. He hears about Krishna, he glorifies Krishna, speaks about Krishna to others, he meditates about Krishna, and he does puja, he worships Krishna. This is how he concentrates. So Madhusudan Das Saraswati has told what this does. He said our mind and heart is almost like a candle, and as soon as we put Krishna on in our mind, yes, it will be the same reaction as we get when we put a flame on the candle. The wax of the candle cannot stay the same. The wax of the candle has to melt. In the same way, when a devotee engages his mind with Krishna, with faith and attention, our devotee has said, has reminded us, then there is a melting of the heart, almost like wax begins to melt away when there is a candle. And the richness of spiritual emotions can take place. However, there is very often an objection amongst devotees. Yes. But how can I think of Krishna in this conditioned state? My consciousness is like a clouded sky where the sun is not visible. I'm not like Dhruva Maharaj, Prabhu. Dhruva Maharaj said, my dear Lord, you are all powerful. After entering within me, you have enlivened all my sleeping senses, my hands, my legs, my ears, my touch sensation, life force. Life force controls the emotions. And especially my power of speech, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you. We want to be like Dhruva Maharaj, but Dhruva Maharaj was not in clouded consciousness. He saw the sun, he saw Krishna, there were no clouds. And yes, then he said, I'm so enlivened, I'm so enthusiastic, I'm so fulfilled. But we are covered by Maya. Maya, as we say in Hungary, Maya has gotten us very much. And as a result, we can't experience the softening of the heart, the spiritual emotions. What to do? What we will do is now we will see a slideshow where we will awaken a few emotions. It will be quite interesting, but I see some of you getting tired because you have not taken a midday rest. We will ask our Mataji Gopeshwari to open the windows and that you get fresh oxygen, and we will put the screen. I want to show you an innocent slideshow, and I will ask you afterwards a very difficult question, okay? It's a slideshow which you have Usually we don't see such slideshows in Krishna consciousness. We see such slideshows. It's a slideshow about the five elements of Krishna. Sorry, the five elements of the material nature. But because we have little lack of time and we want to be very purposeful today, we will only see two elements. And it has a reason which I will not be able to tell you at this moment. Once he starts, Gopeshwari, you can please again put the curtain. No, here you are. But just now that the Vaishnavas can breathe properly. This slideshow has been made with the help of my friends in the Veda Academy. It is meant to be shown to my public audiences, but I have shown it when we changed the year from 2004 to 2005 to our devotees. As you see the slideshow, I would request you to really only watch at this. Don't please ask this question, why is Satchinandan Swami showing us a slideshow? Maybe he wants to shock us or something. Don't worry. I am a very old man and have no bad intentions towards you. It's imagine you are on a walk through nature. This is the best way to see. Now I want to see if you can all... Can you see from this position or would you prefer to go? Water emotionally represents our desire for how we wish to live. As you know, 70% of our bodies are made of water. It's the predominant material element in our bodies. I always see this water. This is the second time where I do this experiment. High up the mountains, I see a very peaceful, deep lake. It's a fact. I wish my life to be very peaceful and deep. Then some of the water leaves that lake. It's a little water. It's a little water, but then it gets momentum. My dear table listening devotees, this was intended. You don't know how my water looks. But it is the way I would like to live my life. A very peaceful base, not so much traveling, deep reflection, going deeper and deeper and deeper into this lake, but then also sharing the gifts with the world. So on. Maybe each one of you can look at his water or her water and find out what the water preaches to you. How you would like to live your life. Maybe it has something to do with your desires of life. Your emotional desires, not rational desires. Maybe for those of you who have moving water, maybe you want to move in your life. For you, those of you who have still water, maybe you want to become more peaceful, more deeper. For those of you who have powerful water, maybe you want to do something, manifest something. For you have water which separates from something. Maybe you want to say goodbye to an old way of life or way of thinking and so on. Please think about this, and maybe you will discover something about your own desires, the emotions which you have. I want to now draw my little presentation to an Krishna conscious end by answering an objection which I have raised earlier. I will try to be brief, and then I will open the forum for a few questions. As you have noted, I came with a huge, huge stack of notes. This is only a little drop from the ocean of emotions. We can see if we want to have a second a program, we will talk with Yadunandam Prabhu. But I want to just say one thing. Krishna consciousness, the word is termed after a word, Krishna Bhava. Bhava means emotions, emotions for Krishna. Yes, at the present moment, Krishna may be far away from our experience and far away from our life. Krishna, knowing that the conditioned soul can unfortunately not relate to him personally so easily, has made himself freely accessible in some forms in which he comes into this world. For instance, he has come in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam. As we listen to the Srimad Bhagavatam with attention, our devotee has given a very nice point. Thank you, Prabhupada. You have really made a very nice point. We can feel a spiritual and emotional fulfillment. Have some of you felt when reading the scriptures that something changed in your emotions? You were not so hazy any longer, maybe so even upset or so shallow, so oberflächlich? Have you felt that in your heart? Oh, good. I think we all have felt like this, because what you have experienced is Hare Krishna, our musicians, come and sing a song for us. They just come from the recording studio, so they bring an atmosphere of music to us. What you have experienced is that Krishna has come on the lotus of your heart, there where the emotions are, and has spread his influence on you, and you became peaceful. I must tell you my personal experience. I always, after a hectic day, when I can't, my mind is just still so much active, I take something to read, because it always pacifies the heart. Welcome, welcome, Hare Krishna. Come in. Our musician. Krishna has also come to us in the form of prasadam. When you respect prasadam and take the time to really taste it, Hare Krishna. Thank you. The Prasadam will pacify your minds and emotions at times. Krishna is known to try to bring out the emotions of his devotees. And therefore he comes in ways so that the emotions, spiritual emotions which are slumbering, can be awakened. For instance, he has come as the holy name. And like our Yadunandan has told about his anonymous reporter, this devotee, you know, felt in a kirtan a divine spiritual feeling of excitement. Who of you has felt this as you were dancing before the deities and chanting, and all of a sudden, whoop, the Maya was gone and you felt Hari Bol? Have you felt this in your life? Yes, we have felt. It is an emotional fulfillment. Ultimately, as spiritualists, we are meant to experience this emotional fulfillment. See, Krishna consciousness is not like a religion which you do at the side. You have to do Krishna consciousness completely. It's not like salt which you add, but it is the basis of your life. And when you make Krishna consciousness your basis, the basis of your life, you will feel all of a sudden how your emotions are fulfilled by spiritual udipans or stimulants. You will see when your eyes look at the deity form an emotional fulfillment of beauty. See, when in this world I stare at someone, after 5 minutes that person becomes a little bit uneasy. Imagine I will go... And you will go like, who wins this battle, you know? But you can come to Krishna and stare at him for 5 hours, no problem. He is there for you to stare at him, dear Marty. When you feel frustrated in life, you can say, I'm going now to the temple and I will stare at Krishna. He has come, in other words, in forms in which he is accessible to us. And when he does this, immediately our heart can melt with spiritual emotions. However, I want to say so much. However, the best way in which you can experience an emotional satisfaction with Krishna is if you go into the rasa theology. Rasa is something which I want to, which I have a whole lecture about. It's really Krishna spiritual emotions. It's a whole science. It's very scientific. Yadunanda must have told you from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu in some of the Nectar of Devotion classes what it exactly is. We sometimes say that there are 5 rasas, five, in this sense, relationships to Krishna in which we feel emotional fulfillment. And you will actually be surprised. The rasa in which a conditioned soul like us can best feel emotional fulfillment to Krishna is the dasya rasa, or the relationship of a servant. When you go with this mood into your relationship to Krishna, I want to serve him, like our Mataji has described to us. When I was young and I had a very energetic body, I was going on Sankirtan and I felt so fulfilled. Do you know why? Because you were entering into a genuine relationship with Krishna, a relationship in which the Lord makes himself freely available. You were entering the mood of service. You came as a servant. If you want to enjoy Krishna for your emotional fulfillment, it will not work, because the position of the enjoyer is already claimed by Krishna. Many devotees, they approach this subject of emotional fulfillment with the idea, I'm so needy, I want to enjoy Krishna. But that position is already given away. It belongs since eternal time to Krishna. But if you learn to approach Lord Krishna as a servant in the Dasya Ras, my dear Lord, I want to do something for you. I want to serve you. I want to somehow satisfy you. I want that you or your devotees look at me with tears of gratitude in your eyes. Then you will taste rasa. I will end here with a quote. When Lord Krishna receives his devotee in the spiritual world, you don't see anything, you don't hear anything. Then Krishna shows his kind nature and very wonderfully says to his devotee, O my best devotee, many births you have performed austerities to attain me. For the sake of my service, you endured even miseries such as cold Belgium winter, wind, hunger, thirst, and pain. For my service, you maintained your life by begging. You tolerated countless insults and abuses from other men just for my service. In return for all your sacrifice, I'm unable to give you anything. I have simply become your debtor, though I'm unconquerable. Today, I have certainly been conquered by you. Now, my devotee, I am taking shelter of the creeper of your excellent character and gentle conduct. Because the Lord is feeling that nothing within his possession is good enough for his dear devotee, he decides to give himself fully to the devotee. He embraces his devotee, who is overwhelmed by that transcendental embrace and all the wonderful qualities of the Lord. Hare Krishna. So if you wish to experience some emotional fulfillment, then it is necessary for you to enter through a door, the door of the Dasya Rasa, the service attitude. You need to feel excited in your service. I'm doing this for Krishna. I remember once there was a young devotee, and I said to him, what are you doing? That was a very... I'm practicing Taekwondo in the service of Krishna. And the devotee was, oh, very good. don't know how exactly you have planned, but if you do in the service of Krishna, very well. Feel excited in your personal service for Krishna. Bring in your emotions, as you, for instance, sing in the service of Krishna. Choose a melody which you like, which you feel, I want to sing this melody for Krishna. Today I knew I was able to, I was requested to sing the kirtan, and in the morning I was thinking, what melody will I sing for Radha Gopinath today? It should be a melody which is from my heart. And I was thinking, and all of a sudden I had the melody. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. When I sing this melody, I see myself dancing through Navadvip behind Lokanath Maharaj, who sings this. He's my favorite singer. And I see, I'm totally lost in the kirtan, and I wish it never stops. And then I feel, I'm not in the cold Belgium winter any longer. I am where I belong, in the Virtual Dham. This is something, but do it as a service attitude. So, okay, we have reached the end. There are many, many, many more subjects, like how Krishna evokes emotions in the devotees in the material world, what emotions you can use, how you can turn sadness and loneliness and repentance in Krishna's service. I will ask a critical question. Can you actually tell your emotions what to feel? I think they just come. I will have the power of prayers. I will have pop songs. Will you still love me tomorrow? Tonight you are mine completely. You give your love so sweetly. But will you still love me tomorrow? This is the natural existential fear which covers the subject of love in this world. Then, oh, there are many interesting subjects here. Krishna. And I have something on the Rasa theology, something very very scientific from Rupa Goswami. I'm now very at the end of this presentation. I wish to see if you have any questions to what you have heard today, or questions in general to this subject. Dina Dayal Prabhu.
A few days ago, I received an email from Tampo. One devotee said that we are now using terms like empathy, listening, emotions, and some like new age terms which are never made by Srila Prabhupada. And he said it is nonsense, and which is again back to Srila Prabhupada. I gave him some kind of reply, and like, explain where it's based on Krishna Prabhupada.
I think this devotee has a genuine concern that maybe someone or even the movement deviates a little from Krishna, and that he may not like this. He may feel this is not good. I think for such devotees, it's very important to give him a quotation of Srila Prabhupada, like for instance this one, to cut this 1842, to cut off the tie of all other affections does not mean complete negation of the finer elements like affection for someone else. These are emotions, huh? And I think when the devotee hears this, he will be satisfied. But see, in spiritual life, it is It's very interesting. Imagine there is a road, Dinadayal, which goes through the fog, Bavarian fog. Have you ever seen Bavarian fog? There, usually the road is up, the fog is up till here. So if you see someone, you know, if you are above the fog by having this position, and you see from there, the person is going through the fog, then you might say to him, not so much left, go a little bit to the right. He doesn't see it. You just see his head coming out of the thing, you know. And then you shout, not right, left, left. Then the person might at one stage become extremely frustrated with your directions. Left or right? Tell me. And you have to say, sometimes left, sometimes right, depending on how you walk. And this is spiritual instructions. Sometimes we need to, it's correct, sometimes we need to turn to a more stricter course. Strict is not the word. I don't think to talk about emotions is an unstrict thing. I think it's very philosophically necessary. It's very much in the literature, but it may be that sometimes too much emotions are stressed. You know that, only emotion, and so on, and then there is no service and no action. And every I used to do service for 20 years. Where was I in my service? Now I have to see for myself. And for such a devotee, you might say, not so much left. Go a little bit right, please. And the other goes, you know, Prabhu, everything is nonsense. Just give out the books and cook for Sharon. You say, Prabhu, a little bit more left. You know, depending on where someone is at the present moment. Therefore, spiritual life is a little a touchy thing. And ultimately, we need personal guidance to know, you know, from someone who can watch us a little, to know, should we now go a little bit right or should we go a little bit left? Mm-hmm. It's very individual. You know, I have always seen this very difficult because you cannot give one answer to, there is, for instance, one person who was a brahmachari and who really tried and all, and he tried to really make the distance, but so attached, and you know, and after seeing this for 15 years, you might say, Prabhu, is everything all right? Are you feeling well? And you know, and for such a person, you might have to see, Prabhu, is it really that all women are Maya? I mean, is there also something like a Grihastha life in God's creation? Grihastha life means a householder life, or is it simply, you know, you might have to, you have to see, you know, what is good for which person. But I would always say, when a because we are dealing in a movement sometimes with such objections, I would always see the good thing which this devotee has in mind. He wants to conserve Srila Prabhupada's teaching. That's very, very good. And we should always encourage this. And when there is someone who is preaching things which are not in relationship to Srila Prabhupada, then we should encourage that devotee to open his vision for the broadness of Prabhupada's teachings. He may not have understood. But often I find out many times these voices are not well considered. You know, they just want to criticize something. And, this is human nature. I hope you can make something out of my answer. I would first give a Prabhupada quotation and say, Prabhupada, there's legitimate use for these things, Srila Prabhupada has said, but of course it must be done in a responsible way. The reason why I talk about this subject is because so many of my of the people who leave Krishna consciousness, and I talk to them, they all talk about this emotional fulfillment. This they say is the reason, and we can continue to ignore this voice and lose devotees, or we can say, well, is there maybe something of about emotional fulfillment in our culture? Then what? What to do? I want to give you a little tip. From you, always have to sort things out. Okay, your frustration is, why are you frustrated? Are you frustrated with service, or are you frustrated with other people? That's very important. Yusara, would you mind to share one of your most wonderful paintings with us here, with the, you know, with the person, and underneath are so many voices, so viele Stimmen sind, das ist also animal. This is Yusara, who is my favorite artist. you have to see this Hare Krishna pens. They usually don't work.
No, I think. Yes. Oh.
So in my example, this is Achinandan Swami. When we didn't find a razor blade, in my example, the frustration. May I use your painting,
yeah,
please? The person was this person. He was frustrated because someone just came back. But there is still this other voice. I would call it this voice, who likes devotional service very much. Who wants to do it? So I should have said, a mature reaction. An immature reaction would be just to listen to this person and say, they talk to this rich man and make him antagonistic to the service of Krishna. After I have spent years to try to cultivate him, I will throw down my involvement in Goloka Dham. I have nothing to do with this project. I will become a member of the Radhadesh community. No, I would say, okay, this frustration came from these people, but let me still do some service because I like to do service. Let me hear this voice. So it's good to sort things out. That's why I have requested you, Sarah, for an original piece of artwork which we will soon be able to sell for. Yeah. Hare Krishna. So we have reached almost our given time. Thank you once again very, very much for your kindness, for your openness for this subject. I wish you a very happy Krishna conscious life. We don't say this with emotions. Chant and be happy. This is not about emotions. No? Happiness is something logical. Hare Krishna. I have so many other subjects to talk about, but I want to look at the clock, and I'm usually going over time, but this time not. I wish you a wonderful Krishna conscious day. Hare Krishna. Hare Bo. Hare Bo.